Samuel, 1 Samuel 4, 1 Samuel 4. The Lord willing, unless He directs otherwise, we'll be covering two different phases of the same portion of Scripture, and in a sense the same story, all about the Ark of God. Now we may, during the preaching hour, we may go over some of this, and I wonder, could someone get me some water? I don't know if I'll need it, but I had a lot of congestion. I don't know if you'd have to interrupt the class to do that. Anyhow, 1 Samuel 4, verse 12, and 1 Samuel 4, verse 3. But we're going to try, Lord willing, to have the part of the message for the Sunday school hour, and then the other part during the preaching hour, and we'll get, Lord willing, get the whole picture. Now, I may have to repeat for the others that come in later, but that won't hurt. That won't hurt at all for us to better understand the Word of God. And the verse I want to give is 4:3. Now, this is Samuel. Thank you. 1 Samuel, chapter 4. You're already there, and verse number 3. And let me read that verse. It says, "And when the people were come into the camp, the elders of Israel said, Wherefore hath the Lord smitten us today before the Philistines? Let us fetch the ark of the covenant of the Lord out of Shiloh unto us, that when it cometh among us, it may save us out of the hand of our enemies." Now that was the usual... That was the usual benefit of the Ark of God. The Ark of God was the picture of the presence of God. And whenever the Ark was there, God was there. That was where you remember as they carried the Ark through the wilderness, right above the Ark, which was in the center, and it was in the tabernacle, there was the fire by night, and there was the cloud by day, to picture that God... His presence, by the way, in the ark, I have to get this right, there were three things, the manna, I believe, that was in the ark, and then also there were the tables, the word of God, and what was the other thing? The rod that budded of Aaron, all right? Three things which showed the power, and that God was going to bless the Levites. See, three different things were in the ark, and it showed the presence of God. And they were to pray, later they were to pray toward Jerusalem, but their prayer was to be toward the tabernacle, and later toward the temple which dwelt in Jerusalem. You remember at Jesus' time, that was the temple, and they were to pray toward Jerusalem. There were synagogues all over in different towns, but they were to face, you remember Daniel in the Old Testament opened his windows toward the place where God dwelt. And so this was the presence of God. It was a picture of the presence of God. And nothing is more important than the presence of God. If we're not saved, we can have all the knowledge of the Bible, the knowledge of God, but we still don't have the presence of God. You only get the presence of God when you're born again.
Amen.
When you're saved by faith in the blood and by faith in His cross and His cross work, amen, there for us. That's when we get saved. Then His presence. It's Christ in you, the hope of glory. But here they were in trouble. And they said, what we'll do is we'll fetch the Ark of God, and the Ark will save us. And the Ark did not save them this time. Let me say, the reason it didn't save them, we'll find out, it's because of their sin. See, even those who've been redeemed, and it was not just sin, it was sin in the priesthood. It was sin in the religious places. It was that which was great, it was adultery, by the way, wickedness. And all sorts of things. The offering of God was being desecrated. And there was sin involved with this. And they made the offering of God a stench in the nostrils of the people. Why? And it says that Eli would not reframe his sons. Look over there to chapter 2, verse number 12. 2:12. Eli was the high priest. You remember we had just studied and preached not too long ago about Samuel. And Samuel, it said earlier, did not know the Lord. He knew not the Lord at that time. And then it said that he went up and God spoke to Samuel and told him all about what was going to happen. Look at chapter 3 and verse 7 first. Chapter 3, verse 7. And it says, "Now Samuel did not yet know the Lord, neither was the word of the Lord yet revealed unto him." Salvation comes from the word of the Lord. And Samuel did not know the Lord as yet. Well, so he wasn't born saved, was he? He was a child that was given by God. Remember, he was asked. She called him asked of God. Samuel means asked of God. And you remember Hannah was in there praying, "Oh God, I want a boy baby, and I'll lend him to the Lord all the days of his life. I'll make him a Nazarite. His hair will never be cut. He'll never partake of the fruit of the vine. He'll never touch dead bodies. I'll give him to you all the days if you'll give me a boy baby." And you remember God answered, and Samuel came that time. You remember Eli at first thought she was drunk when she was crying, and he said, "What's your problem? You're a drunken woman." She said, "No, I'm a woman of a sorrowful spirit." And he said, "Well, what's your petition?" And she said, "I want a boy baby." He said, "It'll happen about this time next year. You have a child." And Samuel was a child in answer to prayer. But it still said in verse 7, "Now Samuel did not yet know the Lord." You get to heaven by knowing the Lord. Amen. You get saved. You get ready for heaven and acceptable to heaven only by knowing the Lord. Neither did he know the word of God yet. But then God reveals it to him in a dream. And the dream was a strange dream. You know, God, when we get saved, God first shows us our sin. He shows us our exceeding sinfulness. You know what he tells to Samuel? He said, "Eli is your head and your leader." He was the high priest. But he said he has not refrained and restricted his boys. And they've made the ark of God, they've made the offering of God to be a stench, which was the way to God. Amen. The offering, the blood, and the lamb was the way to God. That was the way. It was like the Lamb of God, Jesus, later. Amen. It's going to be the way to God, the blood and Christ. And so what takes place here, he done that, and so God told Samuel, he said, "I'm going to give you a sign." Eli didn't restrict his son, but "I'm going to kill them both in one day. That'll be a sign to you." And Samuel woke up, you may remember, after the dream three times. And God spoke to him and said, "Samuel," and he went to Eli three times. And the third time Eli said, "Well, you go back and say, whatever God says to you, speak for thy servant heareth." And he said, "Speak for thy servant heareth." He heard God the fourth time. He went back, and God spoke to him and told him all this. And then he woke up in the morning, Samuel, who's afraid to tell Eli. And Eli said, "Listen, son, tell me everything that God's told you. Don't leave a thing out, just tell me, or else that judgment will be on you." I think that's what he said. You check the record out. And what happened? He told him every whit. He told him all about his dream. And Eli had enough of God in him. He said, "It's of the Lord." He said, let God have his way. It's of the Lord. Even his two sons died. I'll tell you what. Only the Christian who realizes his sin and agrees with God about his sin can have any blessing or victory. Eli was the high priest, but he didn't restrict his sons. You know, there's another picture of your sons. You can be born with a good mom and a good daddy and still die and go to hell. God killed them in one day, and the ark was taken. And good preachers can be so they don't restrict or restrict their sons from doing evil. Here they were. They were even priests. They were right. They were in the. They had the priestly robes and the priestly garb, but they didn't have the priest. They weren't a priest inside. They were wicked. Sinful. Their father should have restricted them. So you can even be born into a good family and miss heaven. Amen. Miss it all. I believe they died and went to hell, both of them. Their daddy was a godly man, and though he didn't restrict them, I believe Eli went to glory for sure. He knew God. He knew the presence of God. He knew the voice of God. And he was God's man. And yet he tolerated sin. We don't need to tolerate sin in ourselves nor in our children. Right. And God help us. Easy to say all that. It's easy to say that, Brother Darrell, when your kids are young. But when you get older, it's worse and worse. Amen? Come on now. Right. Amen? Most of you are young. They get older. And boy, they start feeling their oats. They want to tell mom and daddy off. Don't you dare let them do it.
That's right.
And by all means, don't let them do it when they're little. No, really, try when you get older.
Now spit in your face.
You better spank your children.
Amen?
My father did, and I didn't talk back to him. I never in my life talked back to my dad.
I think God might, even with my high blood pressure, I may live a long time because I honor my dad and my mother.
Amen. I tell you, I feared him too. Say, well, you shouldn't fear your dad. I've heard these new evangelicals, you shouldn't fear. Yes, you should fear. I fear God.
Amen.
God is great. My dad, I feared my dad. That put the fear of God in me.
Oh, I wouldn't talk back to him. It was dangerous. My well-being. Amen. Just like you fear a police officer. I tell you, I feared my dad.
But then I knew he loved me too. Amen.
And that's the way it is with our Heavenly Father. But we ought to restrict. I hope you spank your children. Now be careful not to do it out in front of everybody. We're in a bad generation. I'll report you in a flip second. That's a sin that they do. Amen. But I would hope you do the job well enough at home, in the privacy of your home. And even be careful if you're living in an apartment. Your neighbors will report you. Amen? But what I'm saying is you do a good job at home, and then when you're out there at McDonald's or Burger King or some other place, and you're out there at the game or anything else, and they misbehave, and you tell them something, they know they're going to get it because they already got it at home.
Right.
Whether you give it to them or not right then, if they really know you're going to, you know, and you keep your word. My father never promised me a spanking. I didn't get it. He didn't do that. He didn't waste his words. He promised me, he said, I'll meet you in the bedroom. Get in there. Boy, he came there, dude. I was like, it's going to kill me for sure. And could I say this, and I'm not saying you shouldn't tell your children you love them before and after you give it to them, but my dad never did, and it worked anyhow. Amen?
Amen?
He didn't know one thing about psychology, but he knew all about doing right.
My dad did not tolerate evil in his children or in anybody even outside. He even wanted to get after people, other people's kids.
I didn't say you should do that. I'm saying, especially in our nursery. Oh, don't do it in our church. Amen.
Just come and holler to the preacher. We'll pray for you. Amen.
And if need be, by the way, if the kids become too unruly, we just take them home. We've had that happen a few times. I think once or twice or three times in the whole four and a half years we've been here. A child just disrupt the whole bus or disrupt everybody to the extent that he's hurting the class. You can just say, well, we'll just take you home to mama, right? And you have somebody take him home. Amen? That's the way to do it. And when you swear away, we call mama and say, we love your boy or your girl. But I'll tell you what, he's just disturbing the whole class. And so next time when he gets straightened around, we want him to come. Amen? And other than that, he just won't be able to come. All right. We need to do that. We cannot tolerate sin. Look over in Isaiah. By the way, sin separates. And what happened is, not only did they get slain that day, but the ark of God was taken.
Right.
And you recall what took place there, that Eli heard the word. Eli heard the word. By the way, over in Isaiah 59, it says, our sins have separated us from the Lord. Let's look at that verse. And Eli's two sons had sin in their life. 59. Isaiah 59 and verse number 1 and 2 says, behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, neither is his ear heavy that it cannot hear, but what? Your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you. What? That he will not hear. It's not that he cannot hear. It says he will not hear. God can hear. And by the way, God knows everything.
Amen.
Nothing passes the gaze of God. But what I'm saying is he will not hear. So it's his will to hear those that are repentant and clean and their sin is dealt with. Those that have sin and will not deal with their sin. He says he cannot hear. This is what happened with Eli's sons. They could have repented and got saved.
Right.
They could have. They sure had a good father, didn't they?
Right.
But what the problem was, they just kept on. By the way, these were grown men. It says his sons. It didn't say his children. His sons. They were full grown.
Right.
And they just kept sinning and made the offering of God to be abominable.
I'll tell you what, you know what that is? That's like saying what they did is their sin was so reproachful and so vile that people didn't even want to go to church. People didn't even want to sacrifice. Come right in, have a seat. Good to have you this morning. And they just didn't even want to go to church because the leaders who were getting the sacrifices, the sons, the priests, were living such a wicked life. Even adultery. Weren't they right there? Committing adultery with the women right there at the place. And their father would not restrict them. I tell you, adultery is a wicked sin. And it's a sad day when flesh becomes so prevalent even among preachers. It's a sad day. It'll make people, Baker and Swagger and all the rest and others that we've heard about. Just as I said last week, we heard about another man. And possibly, we don't know if it's for sure, but whatever you hear, usually, not always, usually where there's smoke, there's fire. And it's a sad day, though, when you hear about people who go into sin, especially if they're in the pulpit. So I think you ought to pray for the preachers. You ought to pray for me. Because other people are looking to me. I know people all over this country. I preach revivals. And there's people here, and then there's people that know me all the way in New York and Georgia and South Carolina, North Carolina. I know people all over the place. And see, our life needs to be in order. And it needs to be pleasing to the Lord. And we ought to it's just a terrible thing, and especially when it's not restricted. Now, what is captivity? What is the result of this thing that took place? The ark was taken, and here's what took place. Eli heard about the terrible thing. A man came back from the battle, and he said, "Well, what's going on?" And Eli was very heavy. He was very fat. He was sitting there, and he was waiting to hear. And Phinehas's wife was expecting a baby any moment. And Hophni was out there. They both went out there. They thought that the ark of God was going to save them. And as I said, usually the ark of God did save them. But sin had entered into the camp. Remember Achan? They went up and they destroyed Jericho completely. But while they were in Jericho, they were not to take of the accursed thing. And Achan saw the Babylonian garments. He saw the wedge of gold. He saw the silver, and he coveted and he took it. And you remember then he hid it in his tent, in the center of his tent. And then the Israelites said, "Well, Ai is a little town compared to Jericho. We can take it easy. Just send up a few thousand. We can take the city." And they sent up a few thousand, and they were destroyed. Many died and were destroyed as they were driven out of Ai. And Joshua, who was the new commander-in-chief, after Moses died, he fell on his face. And God said, "Get up off your face. There's sin in the camp." The reason Ai was not defeated like Jericho is because sin was in the camp. And they brought them all, remember, by. And finally, Achan and his family were chosen. They destroyed Achan. He said, "I coveted. I took these things." They went and got the silver, the gold, the Babylonian garments. They destroyed Achan and all that was his. You check the record out. They got rid of the accursed thing. And what happened? They went up to Ai and won the battle.
That's right.
Now, the presence of God is there to meet our need and to save us. And so here they bring the Ark of God, Hophni and Phinehas. They said, "Let's fetch the Ark of God, then we can beat the Philistines." But there was a problem. There was sin in the camp. Sin separates us from God. They expected a victory, which usually they had, because the presence of God is sure the answer to the enemy. Amen? It's sure the answer over the Philistines. It was with David and Goliath, wasn't it? The Philistines came out. Philistines were kind of like Amalek, weren't they? They were always a plague. You know? Even Samson wasn't the Philistines, wasn't he? And he began to deliver them out from under the Philistines. The old flesh, the old devil. Devil's crowd. And here we see the Philistines again. And you know what the Philistines did this time? God allowed even the Philistines to get the ark and take the ark. And Eli gets the word from the man that comes back, and what does he say? He was troubled when he heard about his two sons, but when he heard that the ark of God was taken, it just tore him up. And he fell over backward, broke his neck, and died. The high priest. The same time Phinehas' wife hears about the fact that her husband was killed, her father-in-law, Eli, had just died. And she travails, she has the birth, and she has the baby, And as she go, as she names the child herself, you check the record, and she says, "Call him Ichabod, the glory hath departed." Why? Because the ark is taken. And death prevails when we sin against God.
Right.
Death is always the death to Achan. Amen. Achan and his family sin. And now Hophni and Phinehas, and then Eli, who did not restrict his son. And what was the sad thing? The glory hath departed. And we want to, during the worship hour, I want to explain that even more and see the answer for that. Amen? Thank God there's an answer.
Amen.
There's a remedy for sin. There's a remedy when the glory departs. God can bring the glory back. Amen. Father, thank you for your love. Thank you for your word. So wonderful just to read the Bible. Father, I pray that we would deal with our sin, that we might be heard by God, that we might not be separated, our Father, from Thee. But I pray we deal with sin in our own life, and our Father, in any that we would have the ability and the control, our Father, or the authority over to restrict. Help us, we pray. Bless now in the preaching hour to Father to follow. And bless those that would be teaching the children's church, our nursery keepers, and all our workers, Father. Bless, we pray. Have your way today, and dear God, we pray that the glory of God would be prevalent in our church. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.